Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The world economy teeters on the edge. Uncertainty is now certain. Believers have to live through the same conditions as everyone else. Just as in ancient Israel, when judgment fell on the nation for idolatry. Today, seeing ourselves in the times of Jeremiah. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. As we hear more of "We have no map for this territory," we turn again to Jeremiah chapter 1.
Verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And of course, Jeremiah says, "Who am I? I don't have the strength," etc. God says, "I'm going to put words in your mouth." Verse 8, "Do not be afraid of them, because I am with you to deliver." And then you'll notice, continuing in chapter 1, God says that these people, the Babylonians, are going to come against the gates of Jerusalem. And then verse 16, "And I will declare my judgments against them," that is the people of Judah and Jerusalem, "for their evil in forsaking me. They've made offerings to other gods, worshiped the works of their own hands. But you dress yourself for work," and this applies to us now. "Arise, say to them everything I commanded you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, because I am with you, declares the Lord." I know that this applies specifically to Jeremiah, but it also applies to us. You and I are living at this moment of history, the confluence of genes that God brought together to create you was intended for this moment. There was a reason why you weren't born 30 years ago. You are called to this moment to prove God's faithfulness in the midst of a nation that is under judgment, and more judgment is coming. And like Jeremiah, God is going to protect us. He's going to care for us. And not only that, He says, "I will fight on your behalf, but you'd better be faithful." You are called to this family of believers, this moment in history. You are called by God, and you and I are together. Now, what I'd like to do is to look at that phrase that I read in verse 16, "all the judgments that I'm going to bring upon you." And I'm going to answer the question, what were the judgments that God brought to the people? What was God so upset about? What was it that made him so angry that he would talk about these judgments? Three different kinds. First of all, you have what we would call moral judgments. All the way through Jeremiah, you always have this reference to idols. You know, the people went to the hills and they made idols of wood and stone and silver. For example, Jeremiah says in chapter 2, verse 27, "You who say to a tree, 'You are my father,' and a stone, 'You gave me birth.'" And then God says, "They have turned their back to me and not their face." In other words, they didn't face God, they turned their back on God. What's going on? I used to read the Old Testament and think, what in the world were the people doing? You know, this idea of making an idol? I mean, give me a break. Who would pray to something that you made? And then I heard a lecture by an Old Testament scholar on idolatry in the Old Testament. And then I understood the reason that people preferred these kinds of gods is because these gods were very tolerant and accepting of sexual orgies. That was the whole point. You know, the God of Israel, he opposed homosexuality, adultery, fornication. We don't want that. We want a God who is compatible with anything and everything that we delight and want to do. That's the God we want. So if I make one of wood, he'll agree with me about everything. So all the way through Jeremiah, you have these references that, you know, you fornicate under the trees and you do all this stuff because God says, I'm going to judge you for it. And he says that all the wells are going to dry up. You know, in chapter 2, it says in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, hewed them out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, you don't understand this unless you realize in Israel, the cisterns were really just caves in mountains. And they would plaster them and in a very primitive way. And pretty soon that water would be brackish and it would be very, very bitter. And people couldn't even drink it. It was so bad. And in that context, the Lord says, you know, you've forsaken me, the living water, the streams that flow, and you've hewn yourself out cisterns, broken ones that can't hold water, and they will dry up. Isn't that true of illicit sexual relations? I remember a man here 25 years ago, not with us anymore, but we were trying to convince him to go back to his wife rather than commit adultery. And I remember his words to me. He says, I have found an oasis in the desert, and now you want me to go back to the dry desert. 10 years later, he writes this 10-page letter indicating all the bitterness that came to him. The oasis turned out to be a broken cistern that could hold no water. The desert would have been better. Wow. So God says, I'm going to judge you for this. Is there anyone who doesn't believe that we are under judgment because of rampant, unrestrained sexuality, which we call progress? Is there anyone who doesn't believe that? The very fact that 20 million children will go home tonight with only one parent, primarily the mother, is proof that we have broken God's laws. Adultery, pornography, and the home is being decimated. By the way, speaking of single mothers, we here at the church believe that you are our heroes. We know that you need help, and that's why we have family ministries. We're here to help you parent your children. That's why Pastor Bob is on staff, he and his wife, because we are committed to speaking to and ministering to the brokenness that exists in our society. But take, for example, sexual addiction. What is addiction? It's simply the intensification of the consequences of sin. God says, you want to sin this way? I'll give you lots of it. Now, even in those situations, we are here to help, to encourage you men particularly. That's why you should be going to our men's fraternity ministries, where you can find other brothers who are struggling, so that you can struggle together and be victorious together for the glory of God. But God says, I'm judging you because of your immorality. And by the way, it says in Ezekiel, they make up idols in their own mind. So people today have a God who's so tolerant, he agrees with them about everything. He might as well be made of stone. There's a second kind of judgment, and it follows inevitably, and that is, of course, economic judgment. There are so many passages, but for example, in chapter 2, verse 15, God says that when the Babylonians come, the land is going to be a waste. It says in chapter 2, verse 17, let's see if I can find it here quickly. Had you not brought this upon yourself, by the way, the Lord says? And then he goes on to say that you are under every green tree. And in chapter 3, verse 2, lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been ravished? By the waysides, you have been awaiting lovers, like an Arab in a wilderness. An Arab might be waiting for an animal that he can kill or whatever, and that's the way you've been. And what I'm going to do is to send you judgment with your vile whoredom, the Bible says you've polluted the land. But notice, this is what I wanted, verse 3, therefore the showers have been withheld. And there are verses that say that the blessing of God in terms of the productivity is going to be taken away from you. The land is going to be made barren. And remember, in those days, the land was the economy. It is going to be barren. So you have economic judgments that are going to take place. And it says in the book of Deuteronomy, God said to the people, if you follow me, you will lend to many nations and you will not borrow. Now, what do I need to say about the United States of America? As we begin to spend our way into oblivion, and we realize, by the way, that it is the children who are going to suffer. That's exactly what Jeremiah says. He says it is the children. He says the Babylonians are going to come, and they are going to destroy your children. I can't see it in the text right now. It's written here in my notes somewhere. But that's what God says. And children are going to suffer. More arguments about money, more divorces, and that's what pains me the most about the future, is the kind of debt and devastation we are leaving for our children and our grandchildren. But it's easy to point our fingers at the federal government. What about us? What about our consumerism? How did we as families get into such deep debt? I'll speak about that possibly in another message, except to say that it may well be that God says, enough is enough. So we are being judged economically. Let me say also that we are being judged religiously. How does God really judge a nation? Here's what he does. He takes people's ears and he makes them deaf to the truth so that they will only accept what they want to hear. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and in Isaiah chapter 30, it says that exactly. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the text before me, but in effect, in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, it says this, that the people are saying to the prophets, don't prophesy to us anymore. Prophesy only that which we want to hear. We do not want to hear about the holiness of God. Isn't that a picture of us today? You know, even though this message that you've been listening to comes from the book of Jeremiah, somehow I think that it spans the centuries and it applies to the United States. It applies to you and to me. And by the way, I hope you stay listening because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how this series of messages can be yours. Famines, deserts, and other hard places. And I want to thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. We're dependent upon your gifts. We're dependent upon your prayers. Because during this time when America seems to be going so rapidly in the wrong direction, economically, morally, and in other ways, what we need to do is to get the Word of God out there so that others can respond, so that Christians can be built up in the faith. Because even though I'm very pessimistic about what is happening around us, and perhaps you are too, I'm very optimistic about the work of the church and the confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us. See you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of We Have No Map for This Territory, the first of 7 messages on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time, why we all lose when the house of cards called debt comes crashing down. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.